Okay, so because of Purim, we got a little bit eclipsed in terms of Parshas Vayikra. We didn't really focus on it as much as we should have. So tonight we will. Tonight we're going to talk about the beginning of Parshas Vayikra. Pasuk says early on, Adam ki yakir mikem karban Hashem, that if a man, an Adam, is makriv from himself, a carbon to Hashem, Uberashi, Adam Lamanemar. Why does it have to say Adam? What's that word Adam? Adam is a funny word to use all of a sudden here at the get-go about carbonis. Say ish, say nothing. Just why? What's Adam? And Rashi brings Ma Adam Harishain. It's a reference to not just I'm a man, it's the man, Adam Harishain. Ma Adam Harishain lehikriv min agezel. Adam Rishon, when he brought karbanis, and we know he did bring karbanis, Adam Rishon was brought a karban the very first day that he was created. It was on a Friday he was born, and the Rambam says that he was created from the offer of the Makam HaMizbeach, the dirt that Hashem took to create Adam, the Ikach offer. Min Adama, that was from the Makam and the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash. And Adam, and Ubayhikrib Karban. And on that place, he brought a carbon, I think the Rambam says. And so he brought a carbon right away. Now, when he brought a carbon, he didn't bring a carbon from Gezel. He didn't steal the carbon. How do I know that he didn't steal the carbon? Because to steal somebody, something, from somebody, there has to be a somebody to steal from. And at that point, he was still alone. Shakol ha-yishalai. Af atem le-sakrivim in ha-gezel. So you too should not steal from Gezel. Should not bring a carbon from Gezel. It's a limud. Adam is teaching you that when you bring a carbon, it should be from something that you own, not from Gezel. Should not be brought from Gezel. The Shalach of its Chaim Zal. So that's a beautiful drasha. The only problem is the Chavetz Chaim points out to Hashalay Lahakriv Min HaGezel Mikra Meferisha. There's a Beferish Pasuk. Okay, it's not in Chumash, but it's a Beferish Pasuk in Navi in Yeshaya. Ani Hashem Sinei Gezel Ba'ila. I am Hashem, and I despise when a person steals a carbon. So Beferish HaPasuk, this is not a, you don't need a drasha if you have a pasuk. You have a Beferish HaPasuk in Yeshaya. So what do we need this limud for, this Adam, just like Adam Rishon wasn't Makam and HaGezel, Ashakal HaYishaloi, Ulamaitzach Yalfusa Mehad Adam Rishon. What's the chiddush? There must be like a bonus chiddush here of Adam Rishon over that pasuk in Yeshaya. Yes, you can steal to bring a carbon. The carbon cannot be brought from stolen stuff. But there must be an extra knach, an extra chiddush in this limud of Adam ki yakir mikem karban Hashem. The Tiritz, the Chavetz Chaim answers, the yesh beiz mine gezel. There are two different types of gezel. Yesh gezel mamish, shalekeach mechaveroi balakarchai uchadayme. There's a gezel, the classic case of gezel that I steal from you something that's not mine. So I go, I take a gun out of my pocket, let's say, and I say, hey, buddy, give me that cow. I want to bring it as a carbon. And you're going to give me the cow. That's not allowed. But that's not allowed because the pasuk in Yeshaya says, don't do it. That God hates that type of stuff. He hates when you bring stolen stuff on the Mizbeach. That's the classic case of gezel. There's another type of gezel that I don't steal it. You gave it to me very willingly. You're very happy to give me this animal. But why were you giving it to me? Because we know that you're supposed to give a Talmud Chacham from your property. You're supposed to give them from your stuff, from your food, from your gifts. It's important to give a Talmud Chacham things. I once read that there was a big tzaddik, a big Talmud Chacham, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. He lived in Switzerland, and in Switzerland there was a, or in Zurich maybe, I think he lived in Zurich. Well, Zurich in Switzerland? Yeah. I have a friend that went out with a girl, and he told the girl on the phone, in the old days he used to make phone calls before a first date. Today, I don't think people do that anymore. They just, the shadchan makes the arrangements. But in the old days, you had to first call the girl. It was very awkward because you don't know the girl from Adam. Like, how was your day? Like, how was my life? Like, what do you talk about? How do you break the ice on a phone? But so he was speaking to her, and my friend was from Miami. So she was saying, "Where are you from?" "From Miami." And then when he came to pick her up, so he was schmoozing with her father, and she was like sort of listening to the conversation, and he kept saying that he's from Florida. "Where are you from, Florida?" So when they got into the car, she was like very confused. She said, like, "I don't understand. You told me that you were from Miami. You told my father that you're from Florida. Like, what's up with you? Like, which one is it?" So I guess I just was guilty of that also, right? So if Zurich is in Switzerland, he's from Zurich, and I think he was in Diamonds, if I'm not mistaken. But he was a huge Talmud Chacham, so how can you be in Diamonds and work all day? The answer is that there's a din that you're supposed to be Mahana Talmud Chacham, but Prakmachi, you're supposed to do business with him. It's an extra schus to give a Talmud Chacham business. So you basically go to the Bursa, go to the Diamond Exchange for about half an hour a day. Everybody would like pile on to try to buy things from him, sell it, whatever, do business with him. And then he would just basically do it and then go back to yeshiva the rest of the day. So people want to give business and stuff to Talmid Chachamim. And so I willingly gave to this Talmid Chacham my animal. I said, "Here, it's yours, Bevakasha." The problem is, Avala Emes Einai Kein, but the truth is that he wasn't a Talmid Chacham. He just seemed like he was a Talmud Chacham. He was putting on a show. People thought he was a Talmud Chacham, and he passed for one, but he wasn't in Shemayim. They don't look at him like a Talmud Chacham. He's not. Not a Talmud Chacham. Not a real Talmud Chacham. He just fumfered a little bit. He got away with it. So, Nimtzei Tzlam Makabel Zebu Chinas Gezel. So, this quasi Talmud Chacham who got this animal, he got it willingly, but it was bebechinas gezel. It was sort of stolen by him. It wasn't, he didn't steal it from somebody, but in a way it was sort of like stolen because it was given to him with the assumption that he was a Talmud Chacham. Ki ilu haya ha-naisin yadeya she'ena Talmud Chacham, ene tzadik, lahaya naisin le, because had the one that gave it to him known that he was really not a Talmud Chacham and he wasn't such a big tzadik, he never would have given it to him. That's another type of gezel, but it's much more subtle. It's not like you're stealing it from him openly, like, "Give me that animal or I'll kill you." It's just basically, I'm taking animals, I'm taking stuff from people, but I don't deserve it. It's I'm pulling the wool over people's eyes. Ve'alzeba milas adam lahayres. That's the pasuk in Vayikra. When it says, Adam that's coming to teach you, ma adam rishon kol mashikr v'layaya, he didn't have any gezel, not even that type of gezel, not even that very subtle, that very fine type of gezel that's really almost non-discernible to the eye. HaKadosh Baruch Hu yodei hakol v'naisen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew who Adam was. Adam was great, and he gave it to him willingly, knowing fully who he was. That's the degree that a person has to be able to be. It's not just, I didn't steal it. I didn't steal it. That's a coarse gezel. But to know that I didn't fool people and get it that way in a very bakavadika gezel, a gezel that seems very clean, but it's not. It's also a type of gezel. And the person has to be very careful about that also. The type of carbon that we use has to be not just gezel, like, okay, but I'm not a robber. Yeah, but you might be a robber on a level that's so fine, that's so like indiscernible, that too has to be made sure that you're not getting anything that you don't deserve. It's a scary thing, Lamaisa, you know, it's because like people, you know, people give us kavod and they think that we're something and sometimes we're not. I think I saw by Rav Pam, I think in his biography, he didn't want people to stand up for him because he felt that he wasn't really a Talmid Chacham. Of course, he was a massive Talmid Chacham, but to hit, you know, with his anivas, he felt that he wasn't a Talmid Chacham. He says, and then he saw, I believe it was the Makna, the Sefer HaMakna, if I'm not mistaken, but he saw that if somebody stands up for you, thinking that you're a Talmid Chacham, even if you're not, they still get schar, because they don't know what you are, but they think you're a Talmud. They're not getting, it's not a din in you, it's a din in them. They're giving kavod to somebody that they perceive to, you know, to be a Talmud Chacham. They're giving kavod atayra. So if you're, even if you're not what you claim to be, but they still get schar. So as soon as he saw that, then he felt much better, and he let people stand up for him. He wasn't so mocked because, okay, why would I stop them from getting schar? But it's taka, you know, it's a very big problem. The Chavetz Chaim himself was once asked by a mashkiach, and this is something that, you know, I can't say that I don't have these same reservations. It's like, you know, a lot of times you're giving a shmooze about something and you're not holding there. You know, if I can only give a shmooze about things that I was holding, and, you know, I wouldn't give any shmooze in, because like who's really holding in anything, you know, at least I'm not. So the mashkiach asked him, like, what do I do? Like, I'm giving shmooze, I'm giving baden. And I feel it's like not genuine. It's like I'm telling them that they should be makbid on lashon hara, and I'm not really so makbid on lashon hara. I'm telling them they should be have zrizus, and I don't have zrizus. I'm telling them they should have shmiris anayim. I know shmiris anayim. Whatever it is, so you know, you feel like very guilt ridden. Like it's a hard job to be a mashgiach if you have a conscience. So the Chavetz Chaim says, I hear what you're saying. He says, the eitzah that I have for you is that you should never say you have to be makbid on lashon hara. You should always say like we have to be makbid on lashon hara. We are always, it's like this is not a, it's more like group therapy, a shmooze and a vad. It's that we're in this together, and I'm giving him my darabah. That's for sure. And I always do this. I always say that. I never say you guys. It's not, it's baloney. Like we're, you know, I you know. Very, very often, it's more to me than anyone else because everyone else is tzaddikim, and I'm. But it's all whatever we're saying, and this is like, you know, it should be clear that, you know, I don't mean in any which way ever to preach to anybody. I'm not in a position to preach to anybody. I'm just like, we're working through these things together. We're trying to iron out our issues and our avoda together, and that's. Because otherwise it's taka scary, you know. How do you know that you claim to be a rabbi, you claim to be a mashgiach, you claim to be a Talmid Chacham, or at least people perceive you as that, and you're not. So that's what he's saying, that is what you have to, when you're bringing a carbon, has to be that you're, it's the finest sort of gezel is also included. Upamachas hayemais b'chavetz chayim zal, that when the Chavetz Chaim got up to him benching, that asking Hashem not to give me a handout from human beings, that I shouldn't be embarrassed and I shouldn't be mortified, for Lailam Vahed, he started sighing. One of his sons asked him, I think it was Rav Aaron Lev maybe, Al man nenach, why were you sighing? Va'ana loy d'l'chayra ein amuvan, shemesayimim ba'zeh shlein neva shleilam vaed. What does that mean that we shouldn't be embarrassed for eternity? Where exactly is the busha? What does it mean? If I need to come on, we're asking Hashem, I should never need to come on to a handout from somebody. I don't have to beg. I don't want to borrow, steal in this world. So what does it mean? I shouldn't be embarrassed in the next world. It's in this world that the busha would come. What does that mean, busha l'olam v'ad? The Amr al Pi Anal, so Chavetz Chaim said the same. He said, "De Mekablam Matan Mibasar Vadam Chas V'Shalom Efshar Shiagia Mekabel De Busha Chlima Laylam Bad." It's possible. He says the same part. When you get a Matana Matnas Basar Vadam, it's very possible that you will get Busha from it in the next world. Sheyitzvo Mimeno Al Why are people giving you gifts? If you're, let's say, a Rebbe, a big Hasidish Rebbe, so the whole day people are lining up and they're giving pigeon, they're giving money, kvitlach, you know, you give them a kvittel with all your information. What do? You give it with the kvittel, you give some money. You know, and these Rebbes make a lot of money for them. They don't take it for themselves, they give it to Hasidus and etc. But they make millions of dollars from these things every year, if you're good. You know, if you're a big Rebbe. So, but let's say, you know, people are giving you the money because they think you have some extra powers and you're going to be able to give them great etzes and in business, whatever you ask them, they're going to, you know, they're listening to your every word and you're going to daven for them. And let's say it's baloney. Let's say you're not a tzaddik and you're just a rebbe. You know, your father was a tzaddik, and you just inherited the position. You don't really have those powers. See, you have the minig of taking the money, and people are giving it to you, thinking that you do have certain abilities, certain strengths, and you don't. So in Shemaim, it's all bebchinas like a little gazel, because you know it's something that it's a frightening thing. It's a frightening thing. So that's what it means. That sometimes it's in this world. It doesn't mean a handout like that I'm sitting on the street and begging. It means I'm taking an avakavadik away. People are giving me, you know, money for thinking that I'm a tzaddik, thinking I'm a tamachachim, thinking that it's a mitzvah to do business with me. And in the meantime, it's not. It's laylam vad. The busha is going to be in the next world. Because in the next world, they're going to say, you weren't a tamachachim. Why in the world were you taking all that money? Where is all that money? What's you know, what's going to be with that? The Chavetz Chaim, Rav Elie Lapian, brings elsewhere in the Sefer that it's also, these are scary things, but he says like this, he says that in this world, it's very easy to fool people into believing that you're a Talmud Chacham. Not such a big deal. It's not so hard to fool people. Most people nowadays, they don't know so much to begin with. So if you throw around, you know, you throw a taisus here and there, you know, you throw a ketzais around, you this and that, like, and people think, wow, he knows everything, right? Everyone's just exaggerating. Like, if somebody knows one taisus, it's like he knows Kol Torah Kula. It's like in people's mind, he's like an unbelievable Talmud Chacham. He says that. Where did you know the Taisus from? You know, the Taisus from a Ketzais, from Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua quotes a Gemara, quotes a Ketzais, quotes a Taisus somewhere in wherever. And so you knew it from the Ketzais. You didn't know it from learning that Yevamos. You knew it from the Ketzais that quoted it. You knew it, which itself is like sounds very good to me. You know, even if Alevi, we should know it from the Ketzais. But he says, so in this world, people think, wow, he's Mamash Abaki and Nashim Nezikim, he knows everything. The truth is, he doesn't know anything. He knows here and there a few Maror Mekaymis, and that's it. So he says that's the pshat in Eishes Chayil, which is the end of Sefer Mishlei. It says Noida Basharim Baila B'Shiftayim Ziknei Aretz. Noida Basharim Baila means it's going to be known in the gates in public Baila. Who's the Bailam of Tyra? Who's the real husband of Torah? Meaning, who's the Talmud Chacham that really mastered the Torah? In this world, everybody, you know, people don't know. It's not clear because you could fool people. b'shiftayim zikne aretz. When you go up to Shamayim, and now you're sitting, you know, with the, in the best in Shamala, and the best in Shamala consists of all the gedalim. Reb Chaim Kanievsky is going to be sitting there, Reb Yashiv, and you know, the Stipler, and Nissen Karelitz, and you know, the great Gaonim, and they're gonna like they, you know. Now you're sitting there, and you're gonna. Well, you're a rabbi. You're a talmud. You were, people thought that you were mamish, like, you know. So nu, let's hear what you have to say. And there, you're not going to be able to talk because it's ridiculous. You have nothing. You know, you have nothing to say up there. And that's when it's going to be. That's shalai nevish leilam haba. In the leilam haba, it's going to be. It's there's a din v'cheshvan, and you know, Victor Miller used to, he would very rarely go to Chasnas, especially when he got older. And he would, even his own, and when he did go into Chasnas, he'd always carry a coat with him. Like he would have his coat, his raincoat, whatever, over his arm. And even by his own grandchildren's wedding, he would just go in, he would like have a coat over his arm, and, you know, and like stay a little bit, maybe dance a little bit, and then be out. And they asked him, like, you know, where are you running? This is your granddaughter's grandson's wedding. Like, Laman Hashem, like, stick around a little bit. Like, where's the fire? He says, I'm studying for the big bechina. Studying for the big bechina. And, you know, he wasn't talking about finals. He wasn't talking about dirshu. He was talking about the bechina in Best in Shamayla. And Best in Shamayla, that's like that's going to be the real time that, you know, that we're going to, that it's going to separate the men from the boys. In this world, it's so easy to just like, you know, oh, he's the biggest masmid, he's a, and we all, we I think we all enjoy that reputation, and it's fine, it's good to have a good reputation, but between ourselves and ourselves, you know, b'chadre chadarim, and when we look in a mirror, like we have to like be real, and we have to understand that it's not enough to be a superficial Talmud Chacham. We could pass ourselves off for that, but who cares? Like in this world, it's such a phony baloney world. Like it doesn't mean anything, and it's Noida Basharim Baila. It's like when we go up to Shamayim, like that's when it's all gonna come, you know, to the forefront, and we're going to see, people are going to see who's real and who wasn't. And it's a very, you know, it's a frightening thought, but it's something to shoot for. It's something that, you know, you're young, and you have your whole life ahead of you, but Mitzvah Hashem, you have, you know, a good 70, 80, 90 years, hopefully. So that's, it's a lot of time. It's a lot of time, but there is a big bechina that we have to get through, and, you know, that's why I'm a big advocate of Daf Yomi. Daf Yomi is you know, there's a lot of tainus in yeshivas about Daf Yomi. You know, it's fine for if you're not going to learn anything else, it's very good. But you know, but in yeshivas, it's not so popular because it's superficial and it is. You know, you just unless you're really chazering, you know, it's hard to know like what how much value it is. But I always say that you know, there's two ways of going through Disneyland. Everybody, I assume, has been to like Disneyland, Disney, no? Anyone? Anyway, there's two ways to get through Disneyland. You're not missing anything, by the way. But either you can go and spend like a few days and get like a quick pass or whatever they call it and go on every single ride and, you know, like go on the, you know, Magic Kingdom and this and that, Epcot. Or you could just take a monorail and you can like take a ride, and it goes like around the whole park. So you get to see at least from the you know, like a bird's eye view of the park. You get to see all the rides. You get to see Space Mountain. You get to see you know Magic Kingdom and whatever it is. All the different parts of the you could say you can go home. You could say I saw Disneyland. I saw Disney World. Did you go on every ride? No, I didn't go on every ride. Did you? You know? Did you smamish like? No, but I saw it. That's something. That's also something to say that I saw the whole Disneyland. That's pretty chashuv to see it. I don't know if like Daf Yomi will prepare anyone unless you're really, really taking it seriously and doing it bein and chazering like crazy. I don't know if it'll, if at the end of your life you're going to be able to take a Victor Miller type of faher on Shas. But at least you can go up to Shemayim and say, I saw Shas. I saw it. I saw Yevamos. I saw Rosh Hashanah. I saw Makkos. I saw Harias. I saw it. I read it. I saw the words. I read the words. Does it mean that I know it? No, I don't know it. I guess some parts of it I know better than others, but I saw it. The Chavetz Chaim said to Rav Meir Shapira once. Rav Meir Shapira was the founder of Daf Yomi, and he says, "I'm mekana yirei lam haba." He says, "Let me tell you why." He says, "The way it works in Shemayim is that there is a whole like dais of seats in Shemayim." Whole dais of seats, like beautiful thrones. And every throne has a name on it. And it's the name of a Masechta and Shas. So you're going to have one throne of Brachas, another, the next throne of Shabbos, Erevin, and then Rosh Hashanah, and Mayid, and then Nashim, Nezikim, and all the way till Kachim. And every chair, beautiful chair with a Masechta. He says, a person comes up to Shemayim, and basically, whatever Masechta you learned, that chair lights up. He says, so before Daf Yomi, unless you were like the Ragachev, or like, you know, a person maybe in yeshiva, he learned parts above Metzia, so it'll be like a little dim light, you know, like above Metzia chair, it'll be like flickering like a neon, like a cheap neon light. You know, maybe somebody learned Tainus when they were a kid, or in Eretz Yisrael, they learned Megillah, and they chazed it. That's going to be a nice step. But it's like, it's going to look depressing. It's like every chair is like just dead. It's like, you know, like, he says, but now, because of Daf Yomi, and I assume he was talking about the Hamayinam. I don't think he was talking about, you know, the Gainei Adar, which anyway had their chairs lit up. He says, like, Yid's going to be able to come to Shemayim, even like a simple Yid. Come to Shemayim, and all the chairs are going to be lit up. And that's going to be beautiful. So I'm mekana you for that, because that's an unbelievable thing. Again, does that mean you're going to be a bucket? No, you're not going to be a bucket. You're not going to be able to throw Shas around. But at least you will have seen Shas. And I don't care what any yeshiva guy says, and they could poke fun, and they could say it's this and it's that. You know, it's fine. They let them say whatever they want. But Lamaisa, well, my son, did they ever see every daf in Shas? I remember the days before Daf Yomi, and you know, at least where I grew up, there was the rabbi gave on Shabbos afternoon a Talmud class, you know, with a very few people in attendance, and it was like a big deal. They were learning Gemara. It was one day a week for like on Shabbos for like an hour, and they were like, wow, you know, these guys are unbelievable. My father, Olav Shalom, used to have a chavrusa for like 30 years with a person around the block. Every Shabbos they would learn, every Shabbos afternoon they would learn together for about an hour, maybe 2 hours. And then on Wednesday night, I think they also learned together, and that was like a huge deal. But, you know, this is before Daf Yomi was popular, at least in where I grew up, which was a small town. But today, every single town in you know, normal town in America, in Eretz Yisrael, in Europe, has Daf Yomi Shurim going and well attended. You see, by the Siyum HaShas, you have 90,000. Again, this isn't a you know, sales pitch for Daf Yomi. It's really not, but it is a sales pitch for. We have to like learn to like really set higher goals for ourselves. And I'm talking to myself. Because we waste a lot of time. We do. And as much as we go, I'm busy, you know, college. Yes, we're busy. But I don't want to show you my screen time on Sunday morning. I don't want you to, and I don't think you want to show me your screen time. Do you get it on Sunday mornings also? Mine always comes up Sunday mornings. Like, just when I'm in a good mood to start the new week, I have to see my screen time. And, you know, the average, it's scary. It's a lot of time. A lot of time. I do use my phone to write my chidushim, and I use it for, you know, I have a lot of svarim that I'm working on simultaneously, but you know, it's also, we use it for, it's not even shtusim. It's like, I'm a little addicted to the war, you know, some yeshiva world, like every, you know, a lot, like just to keep on making sure that I'm not missing any stories. I'm obsessed with it. And the Masses Nayas, and then Eretz Sheva, and then, you know, but we waste a lot of time. We waste a lot. I'm not talking about going to the gym. That's not a waste of time. I'm not talking about playing basketball. I'm not talking about studying for college. Take everything that you need to do and then double it. It's still fine, but there's still going to be time that we could find that we could use for learning. We could be in the Beis Medrash. We could be listening to Shirim, you know, if it's too hard for us to sit and learn. So, you know, take a jog, go in the gym and listen to a Shir online or watch Torah anytime or whatever it is. But like, to give more time of our day to learning and to chazering is so important to chazer. The only people that I know that were matzliach in learning is, you know, of my friends that really made it, that today they're big talmid chachamim, are the guys that chazered and chazered and chazered. Well, everybody was learning. My friends were good guys. It's good yeshiva. And they all were learning, Baruch Hashem, but they weren't chazering. They were learning, and then like they were doing the next stuff, the next Amud, the next Taisus, but like they didn't go back. And the guys that were really smart, they kept on chazering and chazering and chazering. Like they're like their fingers were worn out from going like this all day on the Gemaras. They just wanted to chazer again and again. I know it's boring to chazer. I know it's not, but you know there's a whole movement now. Are you aware of like the Haravna? In Muncie, there's a Rebbe in Yeshiva, I forgot his name. Anyone know his name?
Newman,
thank you, Rebbe Newman. So he's brilliant. And he started a movement called Vaharavna. If you go to YouTube, you could find, just type in Vaharavna, I think you'll find like these. Well, what it is basically, it encourages guys to take a Masechta and own it. And how do you own it? You chazer and you chazer and you chazer, and you think that it's very boring, but you get like sort of like a runner's high by doing it, like, because at one point you know it, but you want to know better, and you want to know, and you want to sleep, you want to, you know, dream about it at night, and then you want to wake up with it, and you want to, before you watch Negev Asar, your mind is already in that Masechta, and then they take faharas on it, and then at the end of the year they have, and this is what you could see on a video, they have like a huge chasna. It's called a chasna. It's not really a chasna, but it's basically whoever was mesayim the masechta that they were working on, and they have steaks. Everybody, they spend a lot of money. They have like the schmitziest food, and they have a big band, and they're dancing in the middle with their gemaras. It's beautiful, and Baruch Levine is there singing. They make up a new Baravno song every single time. And it's like you feel like the mesikas ha-tayra. You taste the sweetness of tayra because you don't have, if you don't own it, you don't feel it. You know, if you're wondering like why you never have a geshmak, I'm assuming that you don't. If you do, then, you know, and then ignore what I'm saying. But if you don't feel, and a lot of guys come over to me and say that, Rebbe, I'm not enjoying this. I like other things. I don't like learning Gemara. And the reason is because like it's sort of such a waste of, not a waste, Chas Hashem, you're getting schar for it, but like if I would ask you like what did you learn last year, it might take you a few minutes even just to remember what masechta you were learning, and then but to know anything about it. Do you remember what you learned last year? Do you know it one taisis of what you learned last year? Do you remember one shir that you? No, why? Because we didn't chazer. We're just going from one day to another, and it's depressing. It's like mamash, like literally in one ear and out the other ear, and you have no, there's no geschmack in it because you don't, you feel like I just wasted the past 5 years of my life. I have nothing to show for it. But let's say, like last year, what were we learning last year? Psachim, right? So Psachim, I was just testing. So we were learning Psachim, right? Let's say you would have chazed Psachim like crazy. And you would know it. You didn't just like Messiah, like they're trying to make a seam on Kedushin. Anyone going to be Messiah on Kedushin, by the way, this year? Okay, great. Let's say just, besides for being Messiah on Kedushin is like a doable Masech, but it's not so long relative to other Masechtas. But let's say you'd mamish, like, not be Messiah at once. You're Messiah at 10 times, 20 times. You mamish own it. Own it. Can you imagine the siyum, how that would feel, that siyum? That's what this va'aravna is. It's like, you just like, they know it so well, and they love that. That's their mesechta. They don't just like say, I finished. Like a daf yomi, you feel a little guilty when you make daf yomi siyum, because like, you know, you just like, you're checking the box, but you don't really feel like you own it. If you don't own it, you're not the Noida Basharim Baila. It's more like an acquaintance. It's not your wife. It's not your, you know, it's not something that you have a close relationship with. It's an acquaintance. But when you learn something so well that you could like quote it verbatim, it's your mesechta. That's a love that you will never, you know, duplicate. And you know, that's what you should be doing. Like, if you want a project this summer, let's say you want to say, like, what should I do this summer? Like, besides whatever else you're doing. If you're listening to me, I would say, take a mesechta. I don't care what mesechta it is. Doesn't matter. Take the smallest mesechta, Makis, Harius, or take Tainus, a nice, easy mesechta, you know, with beautiful stories, or Megillah, or something, and just say, I want to learn it. But I don't want to learn it once. I want to own it. By the end of the summer, Baruch Hashem, in yeshiva here, we have a three-month summer. It's like kfira. It's like it's terrible. It's like, I feel it's embarrassing that we have such a long summer, because, you know, it's crazy. It's like really crazy. But, okay, so we have the kailal. I assume they're going to have the kailal this summer. But it's beyond that. 3 months, a long time. You can literally learn one 30-blot mesechta, Tainus, Megillah, Rosh Hashanah, you know, these types, Chagiga, these types of mesechtas, and pound them. And, like, learn it so well that you will know it by heart. And every one of you could do this. It's not something that I'm not talking to, like, the top-tier guy. It's take the easiest mesechta, you can use the art scroll, use a mesifta, listen to it on, you know, on all daf, whatever it is. And just keep on going over and over and over it. And by the end of Mesechta, you know, come back to yeshiva, tell me, Rebbe, we want to make a siyum. And you're going to tell me how many times you did it. I didn't do it once. I didn't do it four. I did it 25 times. Could do it. You just have to set your mind on it, and you could do it. And you will thank me for it, because you will fall in love with the Gemara. You will never, like, be walking around depressed, like, you know, I wasted my time, I don't know it, what do I know, I'm an Amaretz. No, you won't feel that way. You'll feel like, I know this Masechta cold. I could have Rav Steinemann ask if I hear me on this Masechta, and I will know it. It could be a hard Masechta for the guys that want to really take a challenge to do it with Kedushin. But I'm talking about just taking the simplest Masechta and you own it. Or even if you do one blot of a Masechta and you do it 1,000 times, unbelievable. Rav Shlomo Freifeld, I know we're going over. Rav Shlomo Freifeld, you know, he had a Baal Tshuva yeshiva. Shoyashuv started out as a Baal Tshuva yeshiva. And there was a guy that was, like, getting depressed because he said, you know, I can't, everyone else is making siyum, I can't even get through, you know, an Amud of Gemara. It's getting me crazy. Like, I'm such a beginner and I'm so started so late. The next day, Rav Shlomo Freifeld brings him a Gemara. It's a beautifully bound Gemara. And it says, let's say, Kedushin on it. And he opens it up. It's one daf of Gemara inside the bind. That's it. One daf. He says, forget about the whole, this is your mesechta. This is your mesechta. This is your kedushin. Just study this over and over and over again. And that's what he did. He owned that daf. And then he went on to another. And he became, of course, a big Talmud Chacham. Today he's a big Rosh Yeshiva. But that's how every story has to end. But the reality is that if you feel you're missing something in your learning, and you don't have an avas hatayra, even though everybody claims that they're having, and you don't have it, you don't have a geshmak in learning, you're not enjoying, I'm telling you, this is the answer to your problems. The answer to your problems is because you're never chazering it, and if you don't chazer, you don't know it, you don't own it, you have no shaykhas to it, it's just you're two ships passing in the night, and it's just like Rav Shlomo Zalman used to say that about Daf Yomi, that it's etch-a-sketch. You know what etch-a-sketch is? It's like a toy. You like take a magnetic stylus and you do it, and it takes, you know, you have a guy that then you shake it, and whatever it is, well, it starts fresh again. That's what daf yomi is. Every day you do a daf and then you shake it, and tomorrow is another daf. It's depressing. Okay, I told you that you have the ma'ala of you're seeing shas, and that is a big ma'ala. But if you really want to be proud of yourself and you want to have a geshmak in learning, this is the best etza. You start with one mesechta, and you just own it. You just chazer it. You pound it to death. You pound it to death. Gemara Rashi, Taisis if you want to. But, and then, like, in Shamayim, you go up to Shamayim, and they're going to say, hey, buddy, what do you know? I know Tainus. Really? Wow, that's impressive. Yeah, any daf, ask me. Any Gemara, Rashi, Taisis, I'm ready. That's a pretty good start. If you go up to Shamayim and you're like, you show you have like some shtolz to you, they're going to be impressed with you. It's pretty good. What else do you know? Well, you know, I know Megillah. Wow. You know Megillah. What else? Then whatever else you did. But it's better to know one thing extremely well than know all these Shiva Shemesachtas and you don't know anything. You know anything. What do you know? Unless you're chazer. Again, if you're learning Shir, you're chazer, you know it. Great. But if you're not chazing, you don't know it. You're going to be depressed because it's like that with anything, right? If you're doing bio and you don't chazer it, and now like on the test you're flunking and you're not getting into medical school, you're going to be depressed also. It's no different lahavdil in Gemara. You have to. The more you chazer, the more you know it. The more you chazer, the more you know it, and the more you know it, the more you love it, and then you'll feel that the endorphins kick in of really like. Having an avas hatayra that you never had in your life. You could dance in simchas Torah all you want, but if you never chazan a mesechta well and know it, then it's sort of like just very superficial. It's mamash what we're talking about over here. Adam kiyakam yikam, you're claiming to be a Talmud Chacham, you're claiming to be a Ben Tari Yeshiva guy, but it's not legit. And I'm talking to myself. What we have to do is we have to get back on the bandwagon, get something, commit to learning it. And it's not a punishment. Chazara is not a punishment. Chazara is a key to unlocking your heart, your relationship with the Rabbi Nishan, your relationship with Torah. And you start with one Masechta, and then you're going to want to do another Masechta. You're going to want to do, then you're chazaring the same, you're chazaring now Beit Satinus, now Beit Satinus Rosh Hashanah, Beit Satinus Rosh Hashanah Megillah. And you're going to, like, before you know it, you're going to be like Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Because I'm going to know things. I'm really chopping everything. I'm gathering. I'm hoarding mesechtes and the family mesechtes that I have. The chairs are like lighting up. This is not a punishment, Rabbi. I'm not scaring you. I'm giving you a secret to really being kinda, not just Torah, but an avas haTorah. And I'm speaking to myself.